What's up, guys? Welcome back to another edition episode of Apologia TV. That's Luke the Bear right there. Pastor Luke, fellow elder at Apologia Church. That's Joy the Girl.
Yes, it is.
Hey, and I'm Jeff Durbin. They call me the Ninja, don't they? Yes, they do. We're on with the show now. Okay, so we are going to give you guys, I think, an interesting episode today. We're going to talk about ReformCon, the conference we just had recently in Tempe, Arizona. We teamed up with the Reform Pubcast.
Reform Pubcast
with Les and Tanner and Apologia Church, and we put on a conference on Reform theology. We had Dr. James White, we had Andy Wilson, we had Scott Oliphant, we had Darren Doan, Vocab Malone, Luke Pearson, Marcus Pittman, and Leah. And it was a fantastic event. We had some great teaching and great fellowship. It was a lot of fun. We even played games.
Yeah,
we even played games at a Christian conference. Christians can have fun. And so we did that, and we
talked about Star Wars.
We did.
Right. And theology.
That's right. And
not everyone was happy.
And had fun with it.
Yeah, that's right. Not everybody in the live stream.
It's so much fun.
Not everyone in the live stream comments really enjoyed the Star Wars one, but I did. I thought it was interesting. And so we actually put on this conference because we wanted to do a conference and really get some good teaching out there into the Christian world. But we also wanted to raise awareness and funds for Apologia Kauai. It's a church plant on the island of Kauai that our church, Apologia Church, is putting together. And so we're going to talk about the conference. We're going to talk about some of the things that were said and the things that happened. So what was your favorite thing about the conference? What do you think?
Sorry, there's a moth. It just came like flying at your head.
They set the alarms off in at night at 12:30 and 1 o'clock.
I like
in
looked
the morning.
At you and I keep flying. Yeah, it happened.
You know
twice.
What just happened?
Twice.
That's happened
twice.
Wow. Alarm goes off and then we're all talking to each other. Get to the studio. Get to the bat cave.
How do you know it's the moths? Do they tell you?
Because Marcus found it
like,
in the
sorry,
motion
bro,
sensor.
Sorry, bro.
Because the motion sensor went off, but the doors weren't like jimmied or anything.
Yeah, motion detectors. Mm. Unless there's
and Marcus found him.
Something
killed
unless
him.
There's a bigger
unless there's
animal living in here.
Angel flying around or something.
Angel.
I don't know. So
sorry.
So
anyways, that moth scared me.
Yeah, back to the situation. What do you think? What was your favorite thing?
I did love the game show that Gabe did. I thought that was genius and one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Man, it was also good. I thought that I really liked Darren and Nate's talks. They were really good as well. So some of the others, like John's and Scott's and Dr. White, I missed half of them because I was helping other people with stuff, so I didn't get to hear a lot of them. And I don't think I heard much of yours either. But I heard that your melatonin voice is...
Someone said my melatonin voice
it's just
put
funny.
Them to sleep. Yeah.
It's not the case. It's just funny. Anyways, I think those were my favorite things.
And if you want to see the game show, the Reformed Family Feud, Family of Christ Feud, is what we did. You can go to Apologia Studios on YouTube and you can watch the game show we did there. Joy, you are at the conference. What was your favorite thing about the conference?
My favorite thing was Darren's breakout.
What'd you like about his breakout? I love Darren, but what'd you love about his breakout?
It was classic Darren.
It was just, well, I didn't even know Darren, so I didn't know what was classic and what was not, but, it was just honest and real, and he wasn't like, I don't know, it just spoke to me.
And he was eating cotton candy the whole time.
Right. He was, yes.
Yeah.
It spoke to the punk rocker in me.
Nice.
Yeah.
Because that's what you are, punk rocker.
I like to think so.
Yeah. You're a punk something. All right. So with that, let's get down to business.
How about you?
What did I like about the conference? Well, if you guys get a chance to see the conference, again, Apologia Studios and YouTube, you will see some great talks. I love the games that we had. I love the Q&A sessions we had. We actually did two live radio shows. One was Apologia Radio. The other one was Reform Pubcast. Mm-hmm. And I just love the feel of it. I mean, it was just people were just very relaxed and they were there to have a good time and to learn and to fellowship. It didn't feel like a stuffy conference.
Right.
I do a lot of teaching at conferences and sometimes, you get worn out sometimes because you're there all day and all night and just getting pounded with messages. And, you know, it can be hard. You feel exhausted. Like you need a vacation from your conference. Sometimes people are just, really serious. And I like to be serious. I'm not saying that it's all fun and games, but sometimes, I'm with Christians. I want to enjoy God and enjoy, his word. And I feel like we captured that. So that's what, and the teaching was great.
I agree.
Yes,
and
yes.
I love how everyone's teaching intersected so well. Like, we didn't really coordinate a lot on what we were going to teach on. We just gave some basic ideas and everyone developed their own messages. And I didn't do any assigned talks. Like, I didn't say, hey, Dr. White, speak on this issue. Everybody spoke on stuff that's really intersected and stuff that's really important. And so, again, go to Apologia Studios on YouTube and you can watch all the live stream for ReformCon. And I want to say this, now that you're watching this, you guys can go to ApologiaRadio.com. Become a part of our All Access, and that's where you partner with Apologia Church to bring the gospel into the world and to provide a defense of the faith through all the content we do. And so you guys help to make all this possible, but you'll also get through the All Access right now all the breakout sessions from ReformCon, so you get to get all the main stage stuff and also the breakout stuff for ReformCon, and you participate with us in ministry and you make this wonderful television show possible. Thank you. All right. So, okay. So favorite part, I think, of the, I don't know. What do you think? I think this is probably true. I think everybody keeps saying that their favorite message was, or talk was from N.D. Wilson. What do you think?
It's a pretty common consensus.
Pretty common denominator.
Yeah. So there you go. Nice choice.
Does that work? I don't know if that works.
I'm not sure.
I'm thrown off by the fact that the intern's holding our most expensive camera right now. And it's making me really nervous.
Yeah. Look at him over there. Look at him over there being dangerous.
Pretty common denominator.
So N.D. Wilson is Nate Wilson. Nate Wilson is the son of Douglas Wilson. Douglas Wilson, you might know from the film Collision.
The son of Jim Wilson.
That's right. He's the Douglas Wilson is the pastor who actually sparred a bit with Christopher Hitchens in the film Collision. Douglas Wilson is somebody that we love.
With words, right?
With words, with worldviews. Douglas Wilson.
Just so they're not expecting
like a fight. Like a legit fight.
Like if you were,
cool.
It wasn't like he collided with the light rail.
No, not like he crashed into a train like our producer and director did. So it didn't spar with a train, sparred with an atheist. boy, you can tell how punchy we are right now that we've been in the studio a long time today and we're all a little tired. So anyway, Douglas Wilson's a friend of ours and we love and respect him a bunch and he's had a great influence on us. Well, Nate Wilson is Douglas Wilson's son and Nate Wilson is an amazing author. I've said many times that Nate Wilson's my favorite Christian author and I mean that. And he wrote a great book. It's called Notes from the Tilt-A-Whirl and it really connects nicely to the message that Nate gave at ReformCon. He also just finished a book that went out. It's called Outlaws of Time, The Legend of Sam Miracle. It was a bestseller on Amazon before it was even released. We're going to play some of his talk for you. It's going to blow your mind when we come back. ApologiaRadio.com is where you get us. Go sign up for All Access, and we'll see you on the other side.
I want their faith to not just be something that stands, but something around which culture can be built.
We want students who can think critically about arguments, but also about the culture around them, that can then speak clearly to it, and that also have the ability to influence and shape because of the power of their message. Because that's really what the gospel does. The gospel throws down all the arguments against it. It speaks to the hearts of people, it influences, and it changes.
All right, we're back, Apologia TV. We're going to talk about ReformCon. We're going to play some stuff for you guys. This is what we're going to do right now here on Apologia TV. So I'm going to play for you, I think, the part of ReformCon that got the most play was this section of Nate Wilson's talk. And if you read Notes from the Tilt-A-Whirl and loved it, then you will really love this talk because basically the whole entire conversation was about, do we believe what we say we believe? In other words, do we take what we believe as Christians and actually live accordingly? Like, so one of the things that caught me was he says, do we live the most beautiful lives? And he said, because we have the most beautiful truth. And he just made you feel really, really small about all the things you complain about, considering what God has done in the world and what he's doing at every second that we live in his world. But this is the part that got tweeted and Facebooked the most, and it was by women, and they were talking about this aspect of life. It's just one aspect of a believer's life. You know, people that happen to be moms, how they handle that being a mom job. Everyone has a purpose, and whether you are single, whether you're married, whether you're a mom, or whether you're married and you can't have kids, Nate's talk will speak to you in a big way. But this aspect, I think because of our culture, like, you know, oh, you're just a mom.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you just stay home with kids and, you know, oh, that's all you are. So Nate talks about that, and what he says, I think, is pretty powerful.
Before he plays, my wife was actually, she texted me because she was watching the live stream and she was like bawling.
Wow.
And I told Nate, you made my wife cry.
Yeah.
He said, sorry.
In a good way.
In a good way.
He made my wife feel awkward because Candy loves.
Is he so tall?
Well, no, because Candy loves Nate's mom.
Oh, right.
Nancy Wilson.
Right.
And just really loves her and loves Douglas Wilson, loves Nate, reads, you know, read his stuff and loves him. So when she met him for the first time, she was like, you know, and my wife's also very short. So it was like, you know, this little midget was looking up at the beanstalk.
Like there was feet of difference in height between those
two. Like she
two.
Was looking at his ankle. She's like, what's up, Nate? Hey, like,
you know,
what's up, bro? And like punched his ankle. Hey, what's up?
I got a funny story related to that. I'll tell quickly because I know you want to play this clip. So, you know, Jerry's like a huge Nate fanboy.
Yeah.
And so I told Jerry, I was like, you know, make sure you don't go fanboy on him. You know, I'll introduce you, you know, blah, blah, blah. He's like, all right. So there was a point where Nate was like standing here by me and Jerry was over here and he hadn't met me. And I was like, Jerry. And he got all excited. So he walks up to him and he's like, hey. And like, he's like in Nate's belly button, right? And Nate doesn't even hear him and just walks right by him and just leaves Jerry standing there. He's just like. It was so pitiful. I'm laughing so hard. But, it was great, but it was funny.
Oh, boy.
It was funny.
Oh, Jerry.
It was funny.
Okay. All right, here we go. Nate Wilson. This is the best section, I think.
If you're trying to find a job, but you can't, if you have a boring job, if you have a job you don't like, you want a better job. If you have a job you think has nothing to do with God whatsoever, because all you're doing is working as a bank teller, you know, a claims adjuster, just a mom. It's my least favorite phrase in the English language. Just a mom. Oh, I'm just a mom. I'm just raising immortal souls. That's all. I don't know. It's like I've got these, you know, images of God here. They have to put things in their face and keep expanding. It's like I'm just a mom. They're gonna go to hell forever. Or heaven, one of those, we'll see. It's just up to me, how I project the gospel to them, how I teach them. I'm just a mom. Gosh, man, I can go off about just a mom. It's a whole different talk. Like we are, like guys, incidentally, like we are like the blade on the, I keep using snow imagery for you people, I'm sorry. We are the blade on the snow plow. Like we're the blade of the axe. We're meant to get used up. We're meant to just beat and beat and beat and go and grind and get dull and eventually just break down and die. And do you know why we're meant to do this? So that people can be just a mom behind us, because the real job is raising the Imago Dei. The real job is raising up faithful worshipers and followers of the Son. That's the real job. We are the outer bulwarks protecting that operation. That's our job. The just a mom job, that's the thing we live and die for. That's the thing we protect. And we have this whole culture that tries to insult women when they're actually doing phenomenal work. Can you imagine Mary being like, somebody asks her, so what are you doing with your degree? Oh, I'm just a mom. That's all. Just a mom. The mother of David, just a mom. That's all. That's all I'm doing. I'm just raising up, you know, heroes that will live forever in the presence of God. I'm just raising people that will be the salt and light. I'm actually just raising the thing that will destroy darkness forever. It's like, okay, great. Well, I am using my business management degree. Thank you very much. I work at U.S. Bank. In fact, I'm taking pills to stop myself from being just a mom, because I'm doing much more important work. I have a retirement plan, as opposed to raising immortal souls. That's the sidebar. I'm saying, I don't care what you do. You could be just a mom, or you can be the guy counting driveway rocks. And if that's what God gave you, that's what God gave you. And you can successfully image him, his joy, his humility, his love, his humor, no matter what you're doing. Think about every one of those driveway rocks. You pick it up and you're like, it's another one spoken from nothing. Do you know how many electrons are just motoring around in here? This thing's like the entire Milky Way. It's right over your shoulder. It's another one. There's another rock. Like, there it is. Now, you know that's what God's doing, right? Like, because he's infinite, he's not getting bored. He's making another electron and another driveway rock. Because you're tiny, it's so overwhelming. Like, I can't do this. Do you realize that every one of these rocks has an entire complete history that goes back to the foundation of the earth? And even before the foundation of the earth, God had a plan for this little driveway rock, a plan. He knows where it's going to end up. He knows where this driveway rock's going to be on the last day. And he knew that before time. And he spent his time and his energy and his power and his creative work speaking it. Here it is, driveway rock. Pull it out of my shoe and toss it in the bushes. Pick up another one. I think about this all the time with snowflakes.
There you go. So if you want to hear more about the snowflakes, then you need to go to Apologia Studios on YouTube and you need to check out N.D. Wilson's talk. The entire stream is up there for you guys. I was just tremendously blessed by that. And it was really, really convicting and challenging. And it was funny. I told people at the conference, yeah. I think I even said it beforehand. The day he came on a Friday and spoke on Friday, and the day after he spoke, it was supposed to get to 118 degrees in Arizona, in Phoenix. So 118 degrees. And so it was just super, super hot. And this conference, like June is just not the time to do a conference in Arizona. And we actually didn't want to do it in June, but it ended up we had to. But I went up to him when I first saw him, and I know Nate, and I was like, hey, what's up, man? How are we doing? And I was like, hey, man, I'm so sorry to have it in Phoenix right now. I'm so sorry. It's so hot outside. I'm like, it's just awful. I'm just like 118 degrees. I'm sorry you're cooking. I'm just so sorry. I'm apologizing up and down. And he's like, yeah, you know, I'm not really a complainer. He was like, not like some people. So I shrunk and I was like, oh, okay. All right. Okay. Thank you. And then he went up about 20 minutes later and then he gave that talk. And then I felt uber bad about complaining about the sun being so hot in Arizona. So anyway, I thought it was great because what we wanted to do is we wanted to not only herald Reformed theology and the biblical worldview in that respect, but we also wanted to put legs on it and like get it moving in the world. So that's why I brought Darren Doan, the filmmaker. That's why Marcus did his talk. That's why we had Leah come. That's also why we had Nate Wilson, is we wanted the biblical worldview to actually, the Reformed biblical worldview, which is the biblical worldview, we wanted to get legs on it, go into the world and actually start doing things, right? And right. Kind of get out of the ghetto, get out from behind our ears, or in between our ears. And it's like back here, right? It's where it hangs out, back here, right there. Get out from behind the ear. I don't want to know what's behind your ears. I don't
Me?
Know. I just
specifically?
Like, I'm so punchy right now.
What are you
I'm
hiding
so tired.
Back there?
Yeah, in reality.
Quarters.
What's that?
Quarters?
Yeah. All right, guys. We'll be right back, guys. We have more to say on the other side. ApologiaRadio.com. Don't forget to go to missionalware.com and get a shirt, y'all.
If you can think of the flinch of their mind, when you throw a ball at somebody, some people jump back and some people reach forward to catch it. We want to shape graduates who their mind flinches in terms of cultural influence. When they hear an argument that needs to be engaged with, when they see a message that needs to be dealt with, that we want people who jump towards it and go after it. And that's what our curriculum is about.
If so what is a philosophically devastating critique of your worldview, it is not a worldview you should hold on to any longer.
Virginia Tech, 2007.
So what?
32 children, kids, students are killed.
So what?
Andrea Yates, 2001, killed her 4 children.
So what?
No, we're not baby eaters.
So what?
All right, guys, welcome back to Apologia. This is the TV show, right? Yep. TV.
That's what we're doing.
That's what we're doing right now. So talking about ReformCon, and we actually, it was encouraging. We're planning a ReformCon 2017.
Yes.
Obviously, initially we were like, we don't want to do 1 year. We want to do more. But we had people at the conference that were coming up to us and they were like, I got to come back next year and you guys got to do this again. I think next year will be 10 times better because we now see that, like, okay, everyone gets it. Like, they get what we're trying to do and they get the atmosphere we're trying to build and everything else. So we do want to do a ReformCon 2017. So if you are watching this and you've seen the live stream of ReformCon and you want to go, keep looking out because we'll notify you as soon as we figure out when we're going to do it and everything else. And I will say that we're probably going to give people much more time now. Like, we'll probably announce it relatively soon as to when and where and who is going to be showing up for a ReformCon. So it gives you about a year or so to be able to plan for it, maybe save some money for the trip out and all the rest. And so one of the things that was a real gift to me was to be able to get Dr. K. Scott Oliphant. He's a professor of philosophy and apologetics at Westminster Seminary in Philly. And Dr. K. Scott Oliphant is somebody that I really, really admire and I personally look to for training and equipping in apologetics. He was a personal student of Dr. Cornelius Van Til. I think that Cornelius Van Til is one of the greatest Christian philosophers in the history of the Christian church. Mm-hmm. I really believe that. And he taught Bonson. Bonson taught me. I learned through Bonson stuff, but also K. Scott Oliphant. But Dr. Oliphant has something on Bonson.
Yeah,
he does. And that's that he lived with Van Til. And so that's pretty sweet.
He used to take long walks with him.
He used to take long walks with him. So really cool story, by the way. Listen to our show from the event. We did a live show, and we got to hear some of that story from Dr. Oliphant. But Dr. Oliphant taught on, you know, it's more than apologetics. It's much more than apologetics. He really taught on the foundation of our faith. How do we know what we know? The biblical worldview. And he actually did something that we just recently discovered is causing controversy. He addressed specifically Southern Evangelical Seminary. Pretty popular evangelical seminary, evidentialist in their apologetic, and therefore, Dr. Oliphant points out, slightly Roman Catholic. And it appears, and I'm not an expert on this, so I'm just going to say what Dr. Oliphant pointed out, and it is a true statement to make, that there have been many people that have gone through Southern Evangelical Seminary, including professors or faculty, that have abandoned the faith and gone to Rome. And Roman Catholicism. And so he pointed out that it has everything to do with their methodology, and it has led into people abandoning the faith to go back to Rome. And so here's a little clip of Dr. Oliphant talking about the foundation of how you know what you know. What has ultimate authority? Is it the Word of God, or is it reasoning, or is it in the church? In other words, if you say this is it true because it's self-attesting, the Bible, or is it because the church says it's true? And so here's Dr. Oliphant addressing the problem.
Do this. It's not inspired, but it's close. Westminster Confession of Faith, section 4 of chapter 1. The authority of the Holy Scripture, for which it ought to be believed and obeyed, depends, you get it? What's the foundation of the authority of Holy Scripture? What's it resting on? Depends not upon the testimony of any man or church. That's the negative. It's written in the 1640s, after the Catholic Church had militated against the Reformers, the Council of Trent. Westminster Confession comes along. Other Baptist confessions have said exactly the same thing, that the authority of Holy Scripture depends not on me or on the church. Why not? Because if the church says, hey, that's your authority, guess what? Where's the authority? It's in the church. And the church can turn around and say, well, you know, maybe that's not. Or that's kind of your authority, as long as we're the real authority. Or that's your authority, but we're going to take out a couple things, or maybe add a few things. Or some person may say, I've decided by virtue of all of these arguments, that's the authority. Then who's the authority? Maybe the arguments fail. Maybe there are other arguments or better arguments given. Then what? Then the authority is gone. So the Reformers were saying, the Confession is saying, the authority of Scripture cannot be secondary. It has to be primary.
Important stuff. I know it's heavy. Like, you turned on your television and now you're watching a show, or you're part of our All Access and you hear this, you're stepping right into a conversation that's underway. It's like walking into a movie halfway in and you're trying to figure out, like, okay, well, who's the characters? What's the plot line? How are we getting to this climax? What's going on? So I understand that might be like, well, what's even happening? It has everything to do with epistemology. And that's, you know, big words. And people are like, what's that mean? It just means the theory of knowledge. How do you know anything? Mm-hmm. How can you say this is true? So if someone says, this is a fact, this is true. Okay, well, how do you know it's true? Well, because of this, or because of that, because of this. You know, this isn't a Christian problem. If you go to any community college and you take a course or a program in philosophy, you're going to study epistemology. How do you know? Is it based upon reason? Like, is that how you get to know things, because of pure reason? Is that the starting point? Or is it based upon sense perception in some way? Is it pragmatic? Well, what works for you? Is it based upon some other authority? Is it the Roman Catholic Church? Is the Bible authoritative because the church says that it's authoritative? In that case, the Bible is secondary and not primary. In other words, at that point, when the church says it's authoritative, so therefore it's authoritative, that means that the church is the authority, because they're the ones giving the Bible the authority. Do you see the problem? So what Dr. Oliphant was pointing out is that because Southern Evangelical Seminary is not covenantal in its apologetic methodology or presuppositional, it has played into the errors of Rome. Mm-hmm. And so in that case, he's pointing out that that makes a very great segue into Roman Catholicism. When you have evangelicals studying Roman Catholic worldview, that leads them quite nicely, fits them quite nicely and easily into Roman Catholicism. Mm-hmm. And that's the point. And so what Dr. Oliphant points out is that the Bible has a self-attesting authority. God is the ultimate standard. He and his word are the principium, the source, the foundation of knowledge. And so if you don't start there, you lose everything. So that's Dr. Oliphant. If you want to see more, go to Apologia Studios on YouTube. And that's the show for today. It's just a little sampling. It's just a little lick.
Just a little bit.
It's all it is. And you got us when we were very tired today. So that's Apologia TV for today. So that's all there is to it. I want to encourage you to go get more. If you're All Access, thank you for being a part of this. You made it all possible. We love you guys and bless you. Missionaware.com, get a cool t-shirt. That's Joy the Girl. She has some pretty awesome tattoos, and so do I, and so does he. We love you for Jesus' sake. See you next time.
The conversation is going to continue at ApologiaRadio.com. That's where we're going to have our after show. We're going to have more content, more conversations, some really great stuff. You go over there to get it at ApologiaRadio.com by becoming All Access. Go check it out.